I have no doubt about that. It would just have to be epic fail on the Patriots' part for them to not show up tonight. So this one probably won't be good for the Giants. Will West, he might need a break.
Yeah, because, look away.
Yeah, yeah. Took one on the chin last night to the Dodgers late in 10 innings, and then for your Giants to get whipped by the Patriots in successive days, consecutive days, that's brutal.
Yeah, current line, 17.5 points. New England favored, the over-under at 42.5.
Golly, I mean, and I mean, I'm not joking around. Can the Giants score on New England?
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe not a touchdown. So that, I don't know this. Maybe there's a prop out there. Does New York score a touchdown on offense tonight? So you get that. NFL action tonight. The Patriots looking to continue their winning ways against the Giants, who are missing a number of key players on offense, including Saquon Barkley, Wayne Gallman, Evan Ingram, and Sterling Shepard. Go get them, Daniel Jones.
Did you read any reviews on how people over in London appreciated the Raiders-Bears game? Did you read any about that? I think it was a sellout.
They seem to do pretty well, just in general.
And I feel like always weird stuff happens. I mean, not saying that your team winning is totally weird, but it was kind of weird.
Yeah, well, they got a good game. Raiders jumped out to a big lead. Bears came back. Raiders then rallied and got the win. So, not the best overall quarterback play that you're going to see with Derek Carr versus Chase Daniel, but a pretty good game that they were treated to this past week.
Yeah, so I thought it was definitely better than what I thought it was going to be. And the Bears are still just a really great defense and just not much on offense. I didn't really see that happening this year at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, they get Bucks-Panthers coming up on Sunday over there.
Okay.
So a little Jameis versus Kyle Allen.
Well, and that actually, you know, Jameis Winston has been playing better than what we maybe gave him credit for at the beginning of the season. He's had a couple of big wins here in the last month. And the Panthers, as long as Christian McCaffrey can go, they can go.
Yeah, that's going to be a big factor for the Panthers on the offensive side. The Buccaneers are dealing with a couple of starting offensive linemen who I think are going to be out. Okay. That could be troublesome for Jameis if he is pressured. And that's going to be the case with any quarterback, but I would say especially a quarterback who has been prone to turning the ball over. So that's something to pay attention to coming up in London on Sunday as well. This season's moving along. We are halfway through the college football season after this weekend. It's week seven coming up in college. It's the sixth game for Tennessee, so most will have hit the halfway point after this weekend. A few have already done so in college football. Ohio State, Florida, SMU, they're the three bowl-eligible teams, I believe, to this point at 6-0. Best you could be, I guess. But, so we're halfway through, moving along, and Tennessee, incredibly, is still looking for its first win against an FBS team at the halfway point.
All right, college football playoff poll. Are all your teams that you had predicted at the beginning of the season still? How are you feeling about your prediction?
Well, three are doing just fine. Georgia, Oklahoma, and Clemson. Michigan's in doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I took Michigan out of the Big Ten. That looks dumb right now. Ohio State's the pick there.
Yeah.
How could anybody right now pick against Ohio State from that conference?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. And again, I was listening, you know, earlier, and when you're looking at the playoff landscape at this point in time, I mean, Clemson, in my opinion, I wouldn't have them as the number one overall seed if the season was going to end today. And I think the Pac-12 is getting left behind. So it's kind of, at least all the conferences that we had chosen our playoff teams from, that looks like that's where they're coming from.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably the case. If they had to do the playoff right now, it'd be quite challenging considering how good some of these teams are, but they're going to play each other. Alabama's going to play LSU, so we'll get a better idea of what LSU really is. LSU against Florida Saturday night will give us a good idea. And then Georgia-Florida later this season, plus the SEC title game. And I say, how can anybody pick against Ohio State? The schedule does get tougher as this season goes along. And, you know, Wisconsin sitting there saying, hey, don't forget about us. And we shouldn't in the conversation. And then Clemson, despite the scare against North Carolina, still taking them. This is Oklahoma, Texas week, by the way. So we'll get a good look of Oklahoma versus the Longhorns.
How many spots do you think Wisconsin will jump up the week before they play Ohio State so that it can be like a top five matchup to top five teams. I'm teasing. They're eight. They're eight right now.
Yeah, there you go.
They're better than what I thought they were going
to
be.
There is a lot of chatter about what will happen to the winner of LSU-Florida, because somebody has to win. That's going to be a win against a top 10 team for either side. And LSU's the big favorite, so if Florida wins, what if Florida goes on the road and actually pulls off this upset against a team that's favored by 13.5 points on the road at night for Florida against LSU?
You know what Simone Biles is really good at? Vaulting. That's what Florida should do. They should vault right over several teams.
You think so?
Absolutely. It would be back-to-back top 10 wins.
Yeah.
And one would be on the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to. They'd have to jump up because they're seven right now. They'd
number
have
one?
To.
Who would have a better
nobody
resume?
Nobody else had. Nobody else. Remember, I asked you that question yesterday, but I was on the flip side of LSU.
Uh-huh.
You know, if LSU was going to get there, I would have it LSU, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, Bama. Now, LSU would be going from 5-1, Florida 7-1. That sounds undoable, but they would have the best resume in college football.
Let me ask you this. Why does where they are ranked this week matter for where they should be ranked next week?
It shouldn't. Okay. It shouldn't, but it does. It does have an influential.
Oh, I don't disagree that it does at all.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I like the computer polls, man.
You liking my SP Plus?
I do.
Bill Conley.
I love that
shout
stuff.
Out to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Mickey always swore that it could be manipulated by how they put the numbers in, which the formula can be manipulated. But if you stick the formula and apply it to all the teams, then the numbers are what they are.
Right. Numbers don't lie.
They don't lie. You can kind of slice them and dice them some different ways, but they don't lie.
They might get altered. Let's see. The SP Plus, what do they have for the game? Because they make projections out of this. SP Plus has LSU winning by 7.7 projected margin. So 67% chance that LSU wins the game. That does have Florida covering the 13.5.
I will say this, though. I want LSU to win. I think everybody knows how much I do not like the Gators, but I'm not picking against Florida because I've done that twice already this year and looked like a fool. So they just find a way to win.
Which other games did you pick against Florida? Last week, I guess?
Yeah.
What was the other one? Did you pick the Kentucky
Miami.
Wildcats?
Oh, Miami.
You had Miami beating Florida?
Yes. Stupid. I'll say it. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that had to be it. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be UT Martin. And I thought they'd beat Kentucky.
What about the Vols? Mississippi State at Tennessee.
I think we were on record by saying Florida was going to win that one.
Yep. All right. What did you say? You looked at the UT Martin game before you looked at the UT Knoxville game. Unbelievable.
Not true.
Just in case you're looking for another reason to thump me in the forehead, Mississippi State at Tennessee, SP Plus has Mississippi State winning by 6. So right there around where the point
where
spread
the line
is, giving Tennessee a 37% chance of winning. Better than Lloyd Christmas odds. Dumb and Dumber reference. We'll come back. 656-9900 is the phone number.
Who's Lloyd Christmas? I know that name.
Yep. You know, if you'd ever watched the movie, one of these days I'm going to get you a couple of moon pies and sit you down and.
Do you have it on DVD? If you have it, if somebody has it on DVD, I'll take it home.
You can stream, I think.
I don't have streaming capabilities. We're like cave people, okay? We're cave people. Not on Twitter, and I don't stream. I know, it's crazy. It's 2019, Heather. I get it.
What's that? It's a compact disc, Heather. We'll come back. This is Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the sports animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us as Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So a lot to cover between now and then right here on FM 99.1, including getting another score prediction for Tennessee-Mississippi State on Saturday. Jason is on the line as he heard the sounder, the chance to score a Ford from Ted Russell Ford. Jason, thank you for calling in. Do you have a score prediction for us?
I'm going to predict that Tyler gets to go home Saturday and Tennessee takes it 31-27.
31-27.
All right. Well, you'd have two happy people because you'd be having a truck. You could actually go pick him and all of his stuff up.
Yeah,
that would work.
What do you think? Yeah, you pack up all the stuff that Tyler's been able to collect and take him home?
Sure, he's got to load it, but yeah, I'll drive him home.
Fair nice. Enough.
See, that's what happens when you get a truck. Everybody's going to be wanting to borrow it, Jason. Yeah. I'm just getting you ready.
That's how it works. I will tell you, it'd be worth it, though, Jason. So we've got your score down. We appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
Right here on Sports 180, Jason scored Tennessee 31-27 over Mississippi State. We will continue to take a few more predictions between now and tomorrow afternoon, and then we will draw one of these scores at random, and that will be the one to watch on Saturday afternoon between Tennessee and Mississippi State. If the score that's picked hits, the person who predicted it will win a Ford F-150 valued at about $45,000 from Ted Russell Ford.
All right, so we had a Mississippi State pick earlier and a Tennessee pick this time, this go-round.
Yeah, right. So what are we at, about 15 predictions here on the Sports Animal, and only two have been in favor of Mississippi State. Told you, the optimism's rising a little bit Tennessee fans.
You're right. When you use the score forward criteria, which there's a lot on the line, if people are going to be brutally honest, it's going to be in their score forward prediction, whether they want to or not. So, yeah, that's good to know because, again, sometimes I think you only see one side or one point of view, and you don't feel like anybody else shares an opposite view. So it's good to know that people are on the optimism train and thinking that Brian Maurer, in his second start against an opponent that is more beatable than what his first opponent was, that he's going to really perform well. So I'm excited.
I'm going to give you a big old understatement here.
Okay.
A lot of people could use Tennessee beating Mississippi State on Saturday. The town of Knoxville, Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt, the players, Tyler Ivins, the whole fan base. A lot of people could really use a win for Tennessee.
Yeah, it just feels like, I mean, because did you really get excited after you beat UT Chattanooga? I mean, no, that wasn't exciting. I'm glad they did it. You know, obviously, if they wouldn't have, that would have
been bad
awful.
To lose that one.
Yeah, but it wasn't like you could celebrate it. This, you would be able to celebrate. This would make for a great Saturday night. For sure, all the bars in town want Tennessee to win. Because then people stay out. They keep ordering. It's good for business.
Yeah, and you have a better chance of getting fans back to Neyland Stadium two weeks later when South Carolina comes to town. No matter what happens against Alabama, I would say. And I say that win versus loss this Saturday. If you lose to Mississippi State and then go lose in Tuscaloosa next week, man, that South Carolina game could be an ugly one. So, we can keep going down the list of reasons why Tennessee needs a win this Saturday. We can make number one just because Tennessee hasn't won in the SEC. And it's been a long time since Tennessee's beaten any kind of quality opponent. So, start it out there and then keep on going.
Yeah, because the last SEC opponent they beat was Kentucky.
That's right.
Yeah. That's forever ago.
Think about this. When Tennessee beat Kentucky, and that was a really impressive win.
Totally was.
There were actually some people throwing out, hey, Jeremy Pruitt, SEC Coach of the Year. They haven't won since against an FBS team.
Mm.
And four of the losses that they've suffered since then have been by 25
big.
Or more.
Yeah, big.
Now, this should not be a blowout loss. I will say that one. Whether Tennessee wins or loses, Tennessee should not be blown out.
No, I mean, the bottom line is I see this game being a lot like the BYU game.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how the outcome. I'm not saying that it's a foregone conclusion. I think it's going to be that tight. And like we were talking about earlier, turnovers.
That low scoring, a little more scoring, though?
It's hard to say. It's so hard for me to handicap that because that was, what, 24-21?
Well, it was 19 points there with, 29 points, 16-13 with less than a minute to go.
Yeah, yeah.
The scoring was added up with some overtimes.
So, yeah, it probably will be a little higher scoring.
Yeah, I would think so as well. The over-under, I think I saw it 53, so maybe somewhere in the mid-20s. That's probably where I would lean as well. But I think you're probably right in terms of how close the game is. In that one, Tennessee was about a three-point favorite.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, Mississippi State's favored by a touchdown plus, but we saw Stuart Mandel from The Athletic make it his upset pick of the week. Lee Sterling this morning on starting lineup said he's taking Tennessee straight up to win the game. So a little Vols buzz. You're not going to see that much talk of the game nationally. It's just
no.
It's not a big national game.
No, the two biggest games this weekend going on in the SEC are at 3:30 and at 8 o'clock. And that's Florida LSU in the nightcap. Golly, if there's anywhere I would want to be Saturday night, Baton Rouge. If you've got the opportunity, people, to go and you just want to enjoy big time, you know, a big time environment, LSU at night, they say, is just incredibly special. And then, of course, Alabama, Texas A&M is at 3:30 game. I still think Jimbo Fisher, we'll see, because Kirby Smart's got the team. We'll see if he can slay the dragon. I still think it would be Jimbo Fisher to beat Nick Saban, the first assistant. But
you'll take Jimbo over Kirby.
I would, just coaching ability. Like, I think Jimbo, and he's much more proven, obviously, than Kirby Smart. But like I said, Kirby's got the team. But can he get over the hump? I don't know. Kirby's got the best shot.
Yeah, Kirby's no slouch, I wouldn't say.
No, he's not. Yeah. It's also not Nick Saban, though. He's not beating Nick Saban. Is?
Yeah. No, if you've coached for him, you hadn't beaten him.
No.
Not to this point.
No.
Yeah, that's the 3:30 game coming up on Saturday. Bama at Texas A&M. You also have South Carolina at Georgia. That one's coming up on Saturday, same time as Tennessee, Mississippi State. That's a nooner. We'll talk about the NFL, the Patriots moving forward, the Chiefs trying to bounce back this week in a big game against the Texans, and we'll get some info on the numbers, what they say about Tennessee, Mississippi State, with Alan Bell from Sportsline.com coming up next on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal. Thank you for being with us this Thursday afternoon. It is Sports 180 with you until 3 o'clock. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Little Eric Church means it's time for some Alan Bell of Sportsline.com on Twitter, at AlanBell247, joining us to talk some NFL. Alan, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate y'all having me back. Y'all doing okay?
Yeah, doing really well. How are the Giants going to be doing tonight?
Well, it could be tough. If you look at the history of rookie quarterbacks going to New England since 2001, they're 0-14, and their average margin of loss is 17 points, which happens to be right at the line. So I don't think New York's in for anything good tonight.
I was wondering what the significance of that 17 was, and Alan, he delivers every single time. Hey, Alan. Go ahead.
No, I was going to tell you another interesting part of it. With Saquon Barkley and Wayne Gallman out for the Giants, their leading rusher going in against the Patriots' number one defense in the NFL is Daniel Jones. Not a good sign.
Ooh, that's kind of a twofer.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted
you. Yeah. No, I just wanted to ask you, you know, coming off the weekend, I didn't see what was going to happen with the Colts and Chiefs coming, and I'm wondering, you know, just what the long-term effects of that game are going to be for both teams.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't either. You know, I don't think anybody really did. You know, I think for the Colts, it's really big. Obviously, you get a win over, you know, a team like that. You know, especially coming off, you know, a loss to Oakland, you know, which was kind of equally on the other side terrible. So, but as for the Chiefs, kind of offensively, kind of been a two-game skid, and we saw a little bit of injury in terms of Patrick Mahomes' ankles. So, you know, we'll see how they bounce back. But yeah, I mean, for the Colts, you've got to put a feather in the cap. That's a huge win, huge AFC win, and you know, we'll see what they get from there.
Yeah, so the Chiefs then turn around and play another AFC South team, and that's the Houston Texans. So you get Mahomes versus Watson. But as you mentioned, Mahomes banged up. You've got some other injury issues. Guys trying to come back. Sammy Watkins question. So what do you make of all of that as you get ready for the Chiefs-Texans game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's going to be a good one. It's going to be in Kansas City, so it's going to be tough for Houston. The crowd's going to be loud. Arrowheads, obviously, I mean, that's college atmosphere. It's a lot like Neyland in terms of being just very, very loud. Fans are very passionate. It's going to be a tough one for Houston to do it, but I'll say this. If Houston, the big thing for them is that they can keep Deshaun Watson protected and him not catch 4 or 5 sacks in a game, he's going to put up points. They're going to put up 27, 28, you know, 30 points. And I'll say this, it's interesting that these two are playing each other. And somebody, and I can't remember who it was, but I don't want to take their quote, but I'll just repeat it of what they said. Deshaun Watson would be a lot more popular in the NFL if Patrick Mahomes didn't exist, right? Like, Patrick Mahomes gets all the love and all the credit for it. But Deshaun Watson's a pretty incredible quarterback, too.
He even gets all the impersonations. Did you see the Halloween kid that dressed up like Pat Mahomes? And Mahomes sent him an autographed ball. Yeah, it was spot on. Awesome costume.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it.
Alan Bell with us, Sportsline.com. That is a good point. I mean, if Mahomes had been a baseball player, if that's the route he takes and he decides to be a pitcher, do we talk about Deshaun Watson more? We can kind of go back and forth on which guys excite fans the most. Mahomes at the top of the list, but you know, Russell Wilson's doing big things this year in Seattle, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
It's despite some of the injuries, I think it's a fun time at that position because of some of the young guys that we are still seeing develop.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you're exactly right. And if you look at what Russell Wilson's doing, I mean, I don't ever use this word, but I'm going to use it with him. This is legitimately a perfect start to the season. Like, he is career best, all of his numbers across the board. I think he's got, 12 touchdowns, zero interceptions. I mean, he is just playing lights out, incredible football. And the Seahawks, you know, really for a team that kind of goes about winning games ugly and late, especially on the ground, I mean, he's just the perfect guy for that team. They've got a big one coming up, obviously, in Cleveland this weekend. But you know what? I mean, you just can't ever count this team out. And that's always been the case when Russell Wilson's the quarterback, is that it just doesn't matter because he's not going to give up ever. So Cleveland needs a big bounce back off that primetime game, drubbing to the San Francisco 49ers. But we'll see, man. It's going to be a fun game, and we'll see if Russell can continue that perfect stretch.
I want to ask you this, too, about the Steelers. It looks like they are just trying to get through this season, and whatever happens, happens. But, I mean, is their season pretty much done, or is this division open enough that they could somehow, if they could figure out the quarterback spot, they could make some noise?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll say this, you know, you can't ever count out the Pittsburgh Steelers because they've been there before. They're going to play tough. You know, they're going to give you everything they got. It might not be great, but they're going to give you everything they got. Excuse me. I'll tell you the one thing that they'd probably regret now is trading Joshua Dobbs. They could use him right about now. But no, I mean, this team's going to fight. They play good defensively. They're just so down at quarterback now that Mason Rudolph, you know, is still in concussion protocol. It's going to be tough. They're going to be a Chargers team that just lost to the Broncos for their first win of the season on Sunday Night Football. So you know the Los Angeles Chargers are going to try to bring it. But you know what? Like I said, I just don't ever count out the Pittsburgh Steelers. It might not be a great ending this year, but they're going to give it everything they got.
Alan Bell, Sportsline.com, and those Broncos get ready for the Titans this week. The Titans, talk about the up and down. How strange statistically has this season been for the Titans, and what do you think heading into this week where they really need to get a win?
Yeah, the Titans, statistically, this is the most odd season of football I've ever seen in my life. They're averaging like 270 yards passing on road games, and they're averaging an NFL worst, like 173 yards, somewhere around there at home. It's crazy. You look at Derrick Henry on the ground. Derrick Henry is tied for third for the most 10-plus yard carries in the NFL. He's also leading the NFL in the most negative yarded carries in the NFL. It's crazy. Like, this team is just statistically up and down. The only thing that they are is consistently inconsistent. And I'll say this, to make this game even more perfect of being just inconsistent, the city of Denver yesterday, it was 83 degrees. Today, 20 degrees.
Oh my gosh. Snowed.
Yeah, 63 degree temperature drop in 24 hours. So
I couldn't handle that.
I know. And you know what? Sunday, the temperature is supposed to be around 70. It's craziness. Like, this is going to be one of the most wild games that's probably going to finish like 17-15. It's just going to be ugly, but you got to watch it.
That is crazy. Hey, Alan, also, we were having a lively debate, and I think we sort of agreed, but a great conversation on who the best running back right now is in the NFL, and I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't go against Christian McCaffrey, right? Like, everything that he's doing is just incredible. I mean, the kid is just – he's bulked up. He's fast. He can hit. He can run. He can catch. I mean, he's just doing it all. Now, when you talk about, you know, other guys that are in that conversation, Saquon Barkley, absolutely. Now, we haven't seen him, you know, because he's been injured. Alvin Kamara, 1,000%. Now, the hard part for Alvin Kamara is that he is essentially the Saints' number two wide receiver now. So he has so many more duties that he has to do in the air, especially with Drew Brees out. So the easy answer for sure is Christian McCaffrey. You can't take anything away from him. But this, I mean, the NFL is so loaded at young stud running backs. It's crazy. Who are you guys' answers?
Yeah, we both went Christian just because he is their offense, and the way that Kyle Allen deserves a ton of credit. But McCaffrey, he's in, I think, a legitimate early season MVP conversation. And to do that at that position is close to impossible these days.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, it really absolutely is. And for him to be in the conversation, especially with guys like, you know, Mahomes, I know it's been a tough two-game stretch, and Russell Wilson, for him to be right there, that shows how good of a season that he's having.
Hey, Alan Bell, Sportsline.com. We talk a ton of NFL with you. This is a very important week for the Tennessee Vols, though, against Mississippi State. The Sportsline numbers, I don't think, are incredibly generous to Tennessee going into this weekend, but can you tell us any more about that? What should we make of Tennessee trying to get its first win against an FBS team this weekend with Mississippi State coming in off the bye week?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, first off, last week, incredible first half. That was the most just energetic, exciting half of Tennessee football that I've seen in a couple of years now. It's incredible. Love the Marquette quarterback. I'll say this, you're right. The numbers don't look good. In terms of, you know, just a projected score. However, what Tennessee has to do is they have to keep Mississippi State low scoring. If they can keep Mississippi State to, say, 25, 24 points below, make it kind of an ugly game, have a time of possession type of game, Tennessee can pull this game out. But if Mississippi State gets to 29, to 30, 34, 37, like if they get high scoring, it's just going to be tough because you've got a freshman quarterback in there, and Tennessee just doesn't have the numbers, you know, in terms of what Mississippi State does. So their whole goal is just keep that thing low, keep it ugly, hold on to the ball, and score it every time that you get the chance to.
Yeah, if you have a lead in the final minute, maybe a little prevent defense.
That, yeah. Absolutely. You rushing four, dropping seven?
Yeah, we're dropping some guys, that's for sure. At Alan Bell 247, you can follow him on Twitter. What can people find out if they check out sportsline.com?
Yeah, definitely. You know, so it's a brand new look, you know, on sports. So if you're, you know, somebody in the betting wagering community, you know, we're going to simulate games 10,000 times, give you a projected score. We'll grade bets from money line spreads, you know, over unders, you name it. But if you're somebody that just likes an analytical look at the game, maybe you play DFS fantasy, whatever it is, go to sportsline.com. Just click around, check it out, click on the boxes that show your games that you're interested in. And I promise we're going to have some data that you haven't thought about.
Are you going to be ready for the XFL draft next week?
I definitely am, man. I see there's some former Vols that are going to be in it, and our boy Zach Mettenberger is going to be in it too, man. I'm excited.
All right. Are you guys going to play? Is XFL fantasy a thing yet or not yet?
You know what? I'm in for it, man. I would totally love to see it. Anything else that we could get going, especially with that league, I think they're going to do it right. It might be a little different, but I'm excited to see how they start.
Yeah, coming up in the middle of next week, Alan joins us every Thursday talking a little NFL, a little college football as well. Alan, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much, and we'll check in with you next week.
Man, thank y'all too so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Alan Bell every Thursday at 2:30 right here on Sports 180. Can't miss it.
Oh, yeah. Alan is the best, and we appreciate his insight. I did not have the guts to ask him about my Cowboys this week. They are going up against the 0-4 Jets, so hopefully Sportsline and all the computers are being very nice to my Cowboys.
Cowboys aren't going to lose to Sam in his first game back, are they?
I mean, who knows? Who knows? Have you watched the last 2 weeks?
I've caught a fair amount of it, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Saints and Packers, a little bit better than the Jets.
Yeah, but you saw how far the Green Bay Packers got out to a lead, right? Before Dallas decided to, oh, hey, let's start playing at home in front of President Bush.
Yeah.
I mean, geez Louise, guys.
Yeah, I was following that, the Cowboys-Packers game, while also reviewing the box score of the Raiders' winning affair against the Chicago Bears. I was doing that multitasking.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, that must be what you can do when you're able to stream the internet.
No, it's a big bonus. Yeah. Big bonus. We'll come back.
So I'm not missing anything is what you're saying.
Yeah. Maybe put Dumb and Dumber on in the corner, a little Breaking Bad movie coming out tomorrow night, all kinds of options.
Yeah.
Netflix.
Let me know when you're going to see that.
Yeah, we've watched a little bit of the show, I'm Sorry. The language on this show, unbelievable.
What is this?
That's a comedy.
Oh, but they're just foul-mouthed?
Yeah, bad stuff. A lot of characters you recognize. One from That Thing You Do. Remember the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that movie. That was a good movie.
Yeah. Anyway.
Tom Hanks was in that movie.
There's an update on my life. We'll come back. Final segment, Power Poll, driven by Ted Russell Ford. We will rank the top five NFL teams heading into week six right here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back for the final segment here of Sports 180. Thanks for being with us. Going to hand things over to Sports Talk coming up in just a few minutes. Power poll in a moment as well, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Top five NFL teams today as you get a little Patriots-Giants action tonight.
Yes, yes. It's really hard for me to focus right now because you just blew my mind a second ago. You're a 1.5 timeser.
Yes.
Speed on podcast listening.
Yeah, that's right.
You played it for me. I can't keep up.
A bit fast for you?
A bit fast for me, yeah.
Joel, do you ever do that?
I do it all the time. Every time I listen to a podcast, it's 1.5 times.
My man, yeah. I can't listen at 1x.
I wonder what Amanda Watson is. She's also a huge podcaster.
Yeah, because radio, when I'm listening to the radio, obviously people are talking at a regular speed.
Yeah, I'm talking to you regular right now.
But when I podcast, I go 1.5 times.
What's your hurry? Well, what's your hurry in life? Why are you trying to speed this thing up? You know what's at the end, right? You don't make it out.
You know, nobody said that to Ricky Henderson when he was still on all those bases. When Acuna gets up and dusts himself off, nobody says, why are you in a hurry to get to home plate? Same thing. So, yeah, I recommend it, 1.5. Two times is a bit much. I've tried it, but...
Yeah. If you're,
you got to be focused on what you're listening to if you're going to go double speed.
Yeah, otherwise you're just listening and only retaining, half?
What's that?
If you could even retain that much. Because, I mean, it's been very much proven, you know, you've got to hear something several times. Like, reading it, you can usually read something once or twice and, bam, you've pretty much got it. But listening... If you're just strictly listening, you have to listen several times to be able to retain that knowledge. And if you're going at two times the speed of what people are saying it, holy smokes, you're not retaining anything at that point.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let's hit today's power poll.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
Great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
The Power Pole, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive.
Now, when I podcast Sports Talk, I actually go 0.5x speed so that I can get more of John Wilkerson. He joins us now. You get a little extra John Wilkerson on Thursday. John, hello.
Hey, how are you guys?
Yeah, doing okay.
Well, it's a beautiful afternoon here at Gatlinburg-Pittman High tonight. It's the Highlanders against the Roadrunners from Austin East, a fantastic matchup on Rivalry Thursday.
Yes.
All right.
Sports Talk will be getting you ready coming up in just a few minutes, so we get more high school football. Can't believe it. As we are entering week 8, hard to believe for sure. Week 6 of the NFL season, so we have our top 5 NFL teams. John Wilkerson, would you like to lead us off with your top 5?
Why, sure. Fresh off their solid performance in a win at Dallas, I will take the Green Bay Packers at number 5. Number 4, because they are flying under the radar and they are a bird of prey, the Seattle Seahawks. Number 3, the Kansas City Chiefs, even though they were out-physicaled and just beat up by Indianapolis on Sunday night. I have the Chiefs number 3. I move the Saints into the number 2 spot, and number 1 remains New England. And I'll tell you this. Let me rephrase that. I will keep Green Bay in the honorable mention, and I will slide San Francisco in at number 4.
All right. There you go.
Number 4 is where I have the 49ers because they are undefeated, and they were so impressive Monday.
All right.
So Seahawks go down 1, and 49ers go in. Okay.
That is correct.
All right, Heather Harrington, your top 5 NFL teams.
All right, I did put the 49ers in the first time, first draft. They come in at number 5, so respect to them. Number 4, I have the Green Bay Packers. I actually will say this. I debated on putting the Seahawks at number 5, too. So Seahawks, I guess, would be my honorable mention. Number 3, I have the Saints. And, I did knock the Chiefs down a spot with their loss to the Colts. So I have them at number 2 and New England back at number 1. Because I had actually switched them last week.
Yeah, you did. So, Casey, number 2 there. We're looking at a lot of similar lists here. I've got New Orleans, number 5. I'm not giving out any honorable mentions today. Nobody's earned it, except for maybe Oakland.
He grades on a hard scale.
That's right, yeah.
He's the professor nobody wants, Josh Ward.
It's a serious list here. I have the 49ers, number 4. They're good. Big game coming up this weekend. I have the Kansas City Chiefs, number 3.
Oh, wow.
I just want to see them get healthier. They're going to move back up, I'm sure, as the season goes along. But let's get some guys healthy on offense first there, Kansas City. Number two, Green Bay. I've got the Packers up there. I was impressed this past weekend. And the New England Patriots, number one. Let's see if they can hold on to that spot after playing the Giants tonight. But New England, sweep across the top. Congrats to the Patriots. We know it means a lot.
Did you really just say, let's see if they can stay there after tonight?
Yeah, let's see.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Even any given Thursday, that's the motto in the NFL, right?
Yeah, very popular movie, the prequel that they're putting together.
Yes.
The Powerball is driven by Ted Russell Ford, two giant locations, Kingston Pike, Parkside Drive. Check out the incredible lineup of trucks that they have. Find them online as well, TedRussellFord.net. John Wilkerson, what can we look forward to coming up next on Sports Talk?
Well, as I mentioned, Rivalry Thursday, so we'll talk some about Gatlinburg-Pittman and the Highlanders trying to get to 8-0 as Austin East, which kind of stumbled out of the gate, but is 2-1 now in the region. So we'll talk about that. We'll have comments from Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt. We'll have Vol for Life Charles McCray. He will join us to start hour number two of the program. First edition of Slap Shots with Mike Murray as the president and GM of the Ice Bears will join us at 4:35. Brent Hubbs of BallQuest.com along for hour number three. We'll have a Tennessee football practice report with Eric Kane. We'll have comments from Theo Jackson. We'll have that and so much more, including your chance to win with a Sports Fix at 6 today on Sports Talk.
Jam-packed Sports Talk. Sports 180 has been a busy one as well, Heather.
It has been a busy one, so that means, sorry, Shadab, we just ran out of time.
Yeah, we'll try next time. We will. John, we appreciate the time, the extra time today, as always.
Always thank you on a Thursday. Have a great one.
And we'll see you tomorrow, a football Friday, getting ready for a big Tennessee-Mississippi State game coming up on Saturday. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. Sports Talk's next on the Sports Animal.